1654. And it was the first book printed in England to be remaindered. It didn't sell. Not even the copy in the tiny Lancashire shop with local author on a piece of cardboard next to it. The author of the book, one Agnes Nutter, was not surprised by this, but then it would have taken an awful lot to surprise Agnes Nutter. Anyway, she had not written it for the sales, or the royalties, or even for the fame. She had written it for the single gratis copy of the book that an author was entitled to. No one knows what happened to the legions of unsold copies of her book. Certainly none remain in any museums or private collections. Even Aziraphale does not possess a copy, but would go weak at the knees at the thought of actually getting his exquisitely manicured hands on one. In fact, only one copy of Agnes Nutter's prophecies remained in the entire world. It was on a bookshelf, about 40 miles away from where Crowley and Aziraphale were enjoying a rather good lunch, and metaphorically, it had just begun to tick. And now it was 3 o'clock. The Antichrist had been on Earth for 15 hours, and one angel and one demon had been drinking solidly for 3 of them. They sat opposite one another in the back room of Aziraphale's dingy old bookshop in Soho. Most bookshops in Soho have back rooms, and most of the back rooms are filled with rare, or at least very expensive, books. But Aziraphale's books didn't have illustrations. They had old brown covers and crackling pages. Occasionally, if he had no alternative, he'd sell one. And occasionally, serious men in dark suits would come calling and suggest, very politely, that perhaps he'd like to sell the shop itself so that it could be turned into the kind of retail outlet more suited to the area. Sometimes they'd offer cash in large rolls of grubby £50 notes. Or sometimes, while they were talking, other men in dark glasses would wander around the shop shaking their heads and saying how inflammable paper was and what a fire trap he had here. And Aziraphale would nod and smile and say that he'd think about it. And then they'd go away. And they'd never come back. Just because you're an angel doesn't mean you have to be a fool. The table in front of the two of them was covered with bottles. "The point is," said Crowley, the point is, he tried to focus on Aziraphale. "The point is," he said, and tried to think of a point. "The point I'm trying to make," he said, brightening, "is the dolphins. That's my point." "Kind of fish," said Aziraphale. No, said Crowley, shaking a finger. "Smammal, your actual mammal. Difference is," Crowley waded through the swamp of his mind and tried to remember the difference. "Difference is they may add water," volunteered Aziraphale. Crowley's brow furrowed. "Don't think so. Pretty sure that's not it. Something about their young, whatever." He pulled himself together. The point is, their brains." He reached for a bottle. "What about their brains?" said the angel. "Big brains, that's my point. Size of damn big brains. And then there's the whales. Brain City, take it from me. Whole damn sea full of brains." "Kraken," said Aziraphale, staring moodily into his glass. Crowley gave him the long, cool look of someone who has just had a girder dropped in front of his train of thought. "Huh?" "Great big bugger," said Aziraphale. "Sleepeth beneath the thunders of the upper deep, under loads of huge and unnumbered bloody great seaweeds, you know? Supposed to rise to the surface right at the end when the sea boils. Yeah? Fact." "There you are, then," said Crowley, sitting back. "Whole sea bubbling, your pearl dolphins, so much seafood gumbo, no one giving a damn. Same with gorillas. Whoop, say, sky gone all red, stars crashing to ground, what they putting in the bananas these days, and then..." "They make nests, you know, gorillas," said the angel, pouring another drink and managing to hit the glass on the third go. "Nah, God's truth, saw a film, nests." "That's birds," said Crowley. "Nests," insisted Aziraphale. Crowley decided not to argue the point. "There you are, then," he said. "All creatures small. Great and small. Lot of them with brains, and then, bazam." "But you're part of it," said Aziraphale. "You tempt people. You're good at it." Crowley thumped his glass on the table. "That's different. They don't have to say yes. That's the inevitable bit, right?